So for the past 2 years, I've been in Claremont for the 4th of July. My friends and I walk down the street to watch the fireworks. And you know how fireworks are. There's a bunch, and then a pause, and then another bunch, and then a pause, and then another bunch, and so on. Pretty soon the pause is a little longer, but the show is much bigger. And everyone knows, oh, this is it. This is the grand finale. But at that particular display, it wasn't quite as clear. The first year we stood around and the last pause was so long people started leaving. Now, I'd seen fireworks. I felt sure that that was not the big display. That couldn't have been it. The last set of explosions were just not impressive enough. And after a surprisingly long wait, I was proven right. It was a long wait, like someone's getting fired for this long wait. Now this year we watched the same show from almost the same spot. And we had that same moment of wondering, is that it? Should we wait for more or walk home? Not that the display was bad, just we expected more. Sometimes we have that kind of experience at Christmas, where we find ourselves oddly disappointed at the end. When we were young, sometimes it was for lack of a certain gift. As we get older, sometimes we're disappointed by the quality of family time or by who didn't make it out. Or maybe we were hoping this year for a deep spiritual experience, an influx of hope, and we didn't get it. With all the weeks of anticipation and hype, often our expectations are too large, and we end with a sense of emptiness. We sing about joy and peace, but don't find it. Or we simplify in order to focus on the real meaning, but somehow don't connect deeper to God anyway. We probably all have had some level of disappointment during the holidays for a variety of reasons. Last week, we heard John the Baptist living out his call as a prophet, calling people to repent, calling the religious elite a brood of vipers, telling people that living within Abraham's lineage wasn't enough to save them. They needed a change of heart. He spoke of Jesus as the axe chopping at the trees that don't produce fruit and the thresher that separates husks from the wheat, who would come to judge. John was bold, wild, and a leader. He was confident. He knew his spiritual calling. But interestingly, John doesn't quit his ministry to follow Jesus. He continues his own path and with his own disciples. He goes on to speak against Herod's marriage and ends up in prison for it. Today's passage comes from Matthew 11. After Jesus' ministry is well established, and John is imprisoned, where he will eventually be executed. But Jesus wasn't doing the things John expected. He wasn't acting like he was chopping out trees or throwing chaff into the fire. He was touching people and healing them, feeding and welcoming outcasts, which is nice, but he was supposed to be overturning the government. John starts to wonder. Is Jesus really the Messiah? Is he the one he was expecting? If so, when was he going to do this work? John starts to question his own prophecies. His confidence is shaken, and we glimpse his own moment of darkness and of doubt, a moment of wondering, is this it? Listen now to Matthew 11, 2 through 11. Now when John heard in prison about the things that Christ was doing, he sent word by his disciples to Jesus, asking, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" Jesus responded, "Go report to John what you hear and see. Those who are blind are able to see. Those who were crippled are walking. People with skin diseases are cleansed. Those who were deaf now hear. Those who were dead are raised up. The poor have good news proclaimed to them. Happy are those who don't stumble and fall because of me. When John's disciples had gone, Jesus spoke to the crowds about John. What did you go out to the wilderness to see? A stalk blowing in the wind? What did you go out to see? A man dressed up in refined clothes? Look, those who wear refined clothes are in royal palaces. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. He is the one of whom it is written, Look, I'm sending my messenger before you, who will prepare your way before you. I assure you that no one has ever been born is greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this is John, like me, watching fireworks, thinking, is this all? Surely there must be more to come. Jesus was supposed to be the grand finale. Big bangs, big flash, big change. And what was there to show? Rome is still in charge. People aren't repenting. And oppression still rules. Now we can ask the same questions today. Rulers are still corrupt. People are selfish or immoral in religions. And their people go wrong all the time. Is this really the plan? It's notable that Jesus doesn't tell John's disciples to change who they follow. Jesus doesn't try to convert them. And as for John's question, Jesus doesn't answer simply, yes, I'm the one. Nor does he rebuke him for his doubt. Instead, Jesus tells John's disciples to report what they see and hear. And in giving the answer, Jesus draws John back to the prophet Isaiah. Because everything he tells the disciples to report, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, etc., all comes from Isaiah. Somehow, John's expectations didn't match Isaiah's prophecies. And Jesus offers him a gentle correction. But John's confident faith was shaken. We all have those moments when something goes really wrong. John is facing possible death. We face death too, or the death of a loved one. We sometimes face challenges in employment, imprisonment by health or addiction, big bumps in relationships and financial security. All these make us have big questions. We might question if God is real, or if Jesus was really resurrected, or if we're really saved. Or we might even question if religion or spirituality is of any use at all. We can get depressed and think nothing matters. Trusting God, feeling stable, finding peace in my heart, it's really easy. Let me tell you how. Just live a life where everything is perfect, no trouble arises, and there are no bad surprises or challenges. No problem. Now, we do have moments like that, and we can grow to find peace even in slightly troubling moments. I can find internal peace during meditation, or I pray with confident praise even when there's little bumps. But then something bigger disturbs the peace. Recently, I got a request from my other boss at my other job to turn over records for a student. This is always a sign that a lawyer is involved, and they're trying to find all the ways the service providers, people like me, have messed up. Well, that is not hard to find, because we live in a world that doesn't match what we put on paper. Schools especially are subject to much flexibility and change, and lawyers generally have no compassion for the real world. So guess how my meditation and sleep was for the next week. Guess how stable and peaceful I felt. Why was I so troubled when I believe God is with me? We all know what it's like when that one thing, that one bad thing, consumes all of our time, energy, and attention. Some of you are living it out now. We also know what it's like to get overwhelmed by all the bad things, to subject ourselves to the media and see the world's many examples of brokenness or evil. We see a teenager die in custody due to lack of health care. We saw corporations making massive amounts of money while their employees work full-time but still can't pay rent. We see our environment teetering on disaster while politicians continue to cater to those who would help destroy it. And we cry. We think, really? This is what life after the Messiah looks like. Is this what God had intended? Maybe God isn't here at all. And it's then that we need to hear Jesus' questions to John. What have you seen and heard that show God's work in the world? We need to take heed of his invitation. Look. Listen. There are healings happening. There are lives being transformed. And if it's not your life, listen to the witnesses around you. What do they see? What do they hear? Initially, this passage seems like an odd selection for Advent and for the Sunday of joy. But maybe in this time of year when we often get overwhelmed or become more aware of our own struggles, when darkness is literally more present, but also metaphorically, maybe we need reminders to look. Find joy in the midst of even the darkness. So I need your help finishing this sermon. The kingdom comes in many ways, big and small. What can you witness to that you've seen in the last week or the last month? What have you seen or heard that shows the kingdom of God breaking in? Seriously, let's take a minute and share where you've seen healing or good news or love breaking in. And for those of you listening online, you've missed some wonderful sharings from the congregation. But I'll continue. I read a post about a person who gathers about 17 friends together annually, and they each bring a $100 bill, and they go out to breakfast. Then they pay for their meal and leave the rest as tip. Yeah, it's a big tip. They leave about $1,500 of tip for the waitress. That's a beautiful tradition. Now, a lot of us can't do that. Some of us can't even bring a 20, right? But I also saw the kingdom break in this week as Peggy prepared apples for the kids' choir, and I watched Cindy praise them for their efforts. And I admired that because sometimes I forget to do that kind of thing. I saw the kingdom break in when Don and Jimmy came to help Eric put up the lights. And at night, this church is a bright and hopeful spot on a pretty glum-looking street. These are all examples of seeing God in action, seeing the living Christ manifest into the world here and now. In a moment, we're going to sing In the Bleak Midwinter. Not because it is overwhelmingly joyful, as Cindy pointed out to me when she saw my selection. But I chose it because it reminds us that God comes to us still in the form of Jesus exactly in those dark and bleak times. When we find ourselves imprisoned by fear, illness, pain, or despair, Jesus calls us to see and hear the kingdom breaking in around us, even if we don't see it in our life. And this is God's joy, to continue bringing forward goodness in any place possible, to transform the darkness into light. God rejoices over us and through us. And it takes some noticing sometimes, but the good is indeed all over the place. I hope you can see it. Amen.